Good morning, everyone. Yes, it is sometimes a little nervous to get up here and stand in front of all you. It reminds me sometimes of when I'm bowling, and y'all know I bowl. It's when I'm going for a 300. Your knees get to shaking when you're getting the 11th and 12th ones. And that's how it is sometimes when you stand up here. As many times as you do it, it still makes you a little, a little shaky. I was watching TV yesterday in the golf match, and a guy was going to shoot a 59, which is kind of unheard of in this day and age in a golf tournament. And fortunately enough, he got through, his nerves kept calm, and the last hole, he parred the last hole, and he shot a 59. So it's a very low score to do in golf. So everybody, was happy for him, and hopefully, I get through this, and maybe we'll learn something. I'm going to speak about gifts this morning. There's many gifts, but before we do that, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful that we can come here this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, as I stand up here and bring forth this word, that you be standing right alongside of me with your hand on my shoulder, and you keep me calm, and that the things that I bring forth this morning can be used in our daily walk of life with you. We're truly grateful for your son's sacrifice and that cruel cross, and that we have that chance of eternity with you someday. Heavenly Father, we ask now you forgive us of our sins. We ask in your son's most holy and precious name. Amen. Just a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it was Christmas. And we all got gifts, and we were happy for them. We all handed gifts out to our friends, to family, and everybody was happy at that time. And the spirit of kindness, thoughtfulness, and cheerfulness is certainly welcome during this festive period of the year. It would be wonderful if such expressions were to be found among people for the rest of the year. However, there are several free gifts that can be and should be given all times of the year. These are special gifts that you can give to your loved ones, your brothers, sisters in Christ, and your friends and neighbors, and just anyone that you might see walking around there. These gifts all come from the Bible, and we can use them in our daily walk of life with thee. And if we go back to the scripture that was read for the opening scripture reading, it says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instructions." And you could take that first word, and instead of preach, you could use teach. And that's what we're instructed to do. We're instructed to teach the word so that we can save souls, that nobody will be lost when he returns. And we do know he's coming back. Mark Twain one time said he could live for 2 months on one compliment. Now that's pretty good, one compliment for 2 months. There's critics out there that try to destroy, while encouragers build us up, and we can all be encouragers to build each and every one of us up. And that's what makes the church strong, encouraging each and every one of us. We need to make a point to express sincere compliments when we can. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians 2:11, he says, "For you know that we dealt with each other as your father dealt with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into the kingdom of glory." Romans 1:11 and 12 says, "I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong, that is, that you may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." And Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing so, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of approaching coming." Encouragement. We have teachers that teach our children upstairs, and they encourage them to do good. They're teachers that are here in the surrounding school districts that encourage their students to do good. We have coaches, Roger and some of his sons, they coach the girls, and his daughter coached the basketball team. They're encouraging their players to be good, and we as each and every one of us can encourage each other. And it's good sometimes, because I know sometimes I'm out there struggling and I'll get a call from a brother or sister, and just that phone call encourages me and lifts me up and makes me feel a whole lot better. The gift of understanding. We all desire to be understood and should have the same desire to be understanding of others, especially during times of difficulty and trials and failures. Solomon requested of God that he give him an understanding heart. And that can be found in 1 Kings 3:9. "To give your servant a discerning heart, to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? In John 1, 5 and 20, it says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. In Colossians 2, 2 through 5, it says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent with you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. And he wants us, you know, to have a great understanding of the word so that we can teach it when it needs to be done. Because you never know when you might walk into someone or meet someone that wants to be taught about Christ. The gift of kindness. You can't help but notice how people to one another are to one another during that time of year around Christmas time. Someone opens a door for you. You get to speak to a stranger you may never have spoke to before. You know, Christians need to be kind toward others at all times. One of the true characteristics of a child of God is brotherly kindness, and that can be found in 2 Peter 1:7. To be godliness, mutual affection, and to be mutually affection, love, and in be kindly affectionate to one another. In Romans 12:10, it says, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. And Ephesians 4:32, Paul writes, be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. You're supposed to be kind to everybody. Doesn't matter when, how. Kindness is very important. The next one is personal presence. There is no substitute for someone going and visiting someone in a hospital, in a nursing home, or even someone that's shut in at their home. But we have to be wise about that decision, whether or not to visit in certain situations. But be pure and undefiled religion before God, the Father, is this, to visit orphans and widows in their troubled times. And that can be found in James 1:27. It says on Judgment Day, the faith of all will be served, saved eternally will be Christians who gave and visited. And that can be saw here in Matthew 25:34 through 40. It says, then the king will say to those, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you when you were hungry, and feed you, or thirsty, and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and go and visit? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So it goes to show, you know, our personal presence is that we should be out there doing them things. He asks us to go visit those that might be in need and help them at any time. It could be helping your neighbor. Your neighbor might be struggling. You might be able to help them. They might be elderly, and you might be able to check on them throughout the wintertime or to make sure that they're doing okay. You know, and that gives you the opportunity to be able to speak to them. They might not know, you know, what's going on. So, next one, the gift of gratitude. Gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. Paul encourages us to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. I think it's really something there where he says, give thanks in all circumstances. It's not pick and choose the circumstances. It says all circumstances. In Romans 1, Paul describes the unbelieving Gentile world as being sinful and idolatrous. One of the specific sins he mentioned there was that they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. In verse 121 of Romans, it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. In Luke 17:11 through 19, as we read about Jesus healing the 10 lepers, it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance and called out to him in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They must have knew who he was because they called him by his name. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Weren't not all ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise, go, and your faith has made you well. And I pray that in this day and age, we're not like that. We're not one out of ten came back to say thank you. I pray that all of us come back and we thank God all the time for all the things that he's given us. And believe me, he has given us quite a bit that we can be grateful for. You know, God will pause to give thanks to God for all the blessings of life he gives us in his bountiful hand of grace. The next one. Uh-oh. Don't want to get messed up here. It's the gift of prayers. In Luke 18:1, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not ever give up. Christians are taught in the scriptures to pray without ceasing, and that can be seen in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray continually. The writer James instructs us to confess our trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, before it says pray continue, it says rejoice always. And we're supposed to pray all the time, not just when we're here at church, when we're at home. Pray continuously. You can pray at any time. You know, someone might call you on the phone and might need prayers. You can pray with them on the phone. You can go visit with them, pray. Go to the hospital. When they're in the hospital, you can pray with them. You can pray nonstop, believe me. I know a lot of times when I get called to work at 2 o'clock in the morning and I know I got to go out there and the roads are bad, I'm praying that my Heavenly Father has his guiding hand upon not only me but all my fellow workers that are going out there to try to keep the streets safe and get rid of the ice and the snow or whatever might be out there so that they have safe travel. And believe me, he's with me at all times and I know that. The next one is the gift of our forgiveness. In the prayer Jesus gave to his disciples, as a pattern for prayers, he mentioned that we should forgive those who sin against us. The only compliment the Lord made following the prayer can be found in these words. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And that can be found in Matthew 6, 9 through 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our debtors. As we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus never asked his disciples to do anything he was not willing to do himself. When he was on Calvary, on that cruel cross, in Luke 23:34, he said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothing, casting lots. In Matthew 18, 21 through 22, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to seven times, he said. Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. They forgave him as our Heavenly Father forgives us. In Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. 77 times, he says, to forgive. That's a lot of forgiving going on when someone sins against you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we can forgive each and every one of us. You know, there's probably people out there that we probably haven't gotten along very good with, but we should go to them and we should ask them for forgiveness, that maybe they've done something that hurt us. And he asks us to do that all the time. Number 8, the gift of our Christian example. Jesus taught that we are to be what? Anybody know? The salt of the earth. In Matthew 5:13 through 16, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. He wants our light to shine all the time, not just periodically. He wants us to be a shining light. And that shining light draws those that might be lost out there to you, and that you might be able to teach, you might be able to bring them to an understanding of God. In Philippians 2:15, it says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. And we know that the stars shine all the time. They never go out. And in the daytime, the sun's shining brightly. So we are, you know, different. We may be the only Bible that some people ever see or hear. And that is could be a good thing, because if we speak to them and be able to talk to them, we might be able to bring them to an understanding of him. You know, it's like I often heard people sometimes, I'd rather see a sermon than just listen to one. And it's good to be here that we can hear things preached. And in closing, the last one, a very important one, the gift of love. And as this first slide comes up, we can even see, even when the characters in a cartoon, they knew exactly what our Heavenly Father did when his son came to this earth. In John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus taught his disciples to love one another, and he gave them a new command in John 13:34 through 35. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are the disciples if you love one another. In John 15:13, missed one. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, it's a very important one. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We're supposed to be full of love. We're supposed to love everybody. It doesn't matter who they are. We're supposed to love them. In Romans 5:8, John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. I apologize for getting a little bit out of order here. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And as we come to the end here, God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, he did give up his life for us. He shed his blood. And that can be found in Matthew 26 and 28. He says, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of my sins." And Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sins and according to the riches of God's grace." You know, brings to the conclusion the end of my spent message here this morning. I hope that maybe going and lightening some of these gifts, you know, that maybe you can look at them, pick up your Bible and use them, and maybe begin not just this week but the rest of the year to use these gifts. I think these gifts will actually enhance our church if we use them to the best of our ability. And believe me, we can really use them to help our church here grow and reach out to those. There's many people out there that are lost that don't have an understanding of what's really going on. And the way the country is now, we need to be out there more than ever to help those that are kind of lost out there. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I truly thank you for allowing me to be here this morning to be able to bring forth this message about gifts. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we can all use them in our daily walk of life with thee, and that we can strengthen each and every one of us, and that we can encourage each and every one of us, that we can be strong, we can be the shining light like you want us to be, and that people will see us and ask us why we do shine the way we do. Heavenly Father, we're truly grateful for this time. I ask now you forgive us of our sins. We ask as your Son's most holy, precious name. Amen. This morning, we have the opportunity to maybe be baptized for your remission of sins. And what I mean by that is we have a baptistry up here where you can be buried in that watery grave of baptism. And when you come up out of that water, you're a new person. All the things that went on in your previous life are gone. He's forgotten all everything. There is no record of it anymore. In Acts 2:36-38, it says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Master. When the people heard this, they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And we had that opportunity this morning to do that. You also have the opportunity that if anything is going on in your life and you'd like the church to pray about it, you can let us know. We're going to sing a song here in a few seconds, and while that song is being sung, if you'd like to be baptized or bring anything to the church to pray about or help you with, you can come forward as we stand and sing this song.